Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Welcome to our special class on Rosh Hashanah. Okay. On Rosh Hashanah, there was a man who got an aliyah, Hagbah. You know, Hagbah's when you lift up the Torah. So, one after another. You guys like, right, once again, what we got? Guy, Rosh Hashanah gets an aliyah, Hagbah, right? So he struggles to lift up the Sefer Torah, and you can see it's about to fall, like three, four guys rush over and, you know, and support the guy before the Torah falls out of his hands, Chalila. Guy's very upset. Like, realizes, you know, I didn't realize it was that weak. And it makes it a point. He's going to work out all year. So next Rosh Hashanah, right, he'll be able to lift up the Sefer Torah. Sure enough, he works out the whole year. Comes next Rosh Hashanah, gets an aliyah, picks up the Sefer Torah perfectly, opens it up, seven columns are showing, pulls it to every side, sits down, beautiful, just perfect. Turns to the Gabbai and says, how'd I do? Goes, not bad for Shlishi. Okay. So, you have a question on the story? The truth is, Rosh Hashanah is, well, to sum up Rosh Hashanah, it's a day that we're going to, how do I put it to you? It's a day you're going to basically say, Shalom Aleichem to yourself. That's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. Rosh Hashanah is a day that you say, Dovber, Shalom Aleichem. How have you been? How have you been this past year? It's a look in the mirror. It's a time that you're supposed to take away all the excuses and the rationalizations and face yourself. What's going on this past year? How did I do? Where am I? Where am I holding? Where do I want to hold? What's my relationship with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's Rosh Hashanah. So time, if you will, you got to kind of start getting your game face on. Right? Rosh Hashanah starts 10 days later, Yom Kippur, it's sealed. It's coming up. Coming up in about a week, folks. So it's time that we start to prepare for it. Put on our faces, our real faces, and take off our mask that we wear all year round. The facade, the exterior, the clothing, all the things that we put on out there to get along in the society or the culture that we live in, and then we forget. We forget who we are. What's the real us and what we're doing here? We get so caught up, even in our spirituality, of going through a routine. Yeah, of going through our you get up, you daven, right, that becomes routine. You say your brachas, you bench, you go to work, that you never have time to figure out what's going on. Rav Epstein used to say, all this talk about Rosh Hashanah, and we're forgetting about Rosh Hashanah. So, you know, we still got time, and we still got a whole lot of hours that we're going to be spending in shul, God willing, Rosh Hashanah, 10 days of repentance, and then Yom Kippur, to figure out how we can get to the essence of who we really are and resolve to live out that essence throughout the year. Now, the truth is, this happens historically. Historically, Rosh Hashanah becomes a day of introspection, if you will. A day from the standpoint of the Kaddish Baruch, it's a day of judgment. From our standpoint, as we're elaborating on, it's a day that we have to introspect and figure out who we are, who we really are, get down to really our inner selves. And this historically came about as Rosh Hashanah commemorates the creation of the world, right? The truth is, that's not so simple, because if you look at it, really, Rosh Hashanah is not the creation of the world. The truth is the 25th of Elul. The 25th of Elul, right, 6 days prior to that, is when the world was created. Okay? But on Rosh Hashanah, man was created, Adam, right? And the sin was committed on that day, and he got his first day of judgment on Rosh Hashanah. So that becomes Rosh Hashanah, which in itself is an interesting side point. You see that Rosh Hashanah is not the creation of the world, right? And yet, it's called that. If you look at the Musaf prayers in Rosh Hashanah, it's called, I think the language is used, Techilas Maasecha, I think the beginning of your works, Hashem, referring to the creation of the world, and yet that's really the creation of Adam. Why is that? Why is that considered the creation of the world? Okay? So this goes to a concept that we mentioned before. On Rosh Hashanah, the highlight of the prayer service and the highlight of the day is the coronation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? We're proclaiming HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Melech. Okay, I mean, that in itself is a difficult, what does it mean? That without us, Hashem is not the Melech? He's not the King? He's always the Melech, right? The truth is, that's exactly it. Without us, Hashem is not a Melech. He's a Moshel, he's a Boira, he's a Yotzer, he's a Creator, he's all these other things. But the entity of a Melech, of a king, can only be with man, of his own free will, accepting a Kadosh Baruch Hu upon himself. Okay? And therefore, Rosh Hashanah is a celebration of the creation of the world, which is the creation of man. Because only with man, an entity with free will, who can voluntarily accept Hashem's sovereignty upon himself, is there a purpose for the creation of the world. In other words, right, without any Adam, that's it. The world goes back to null and void, right? And without a purpose in the world like the Torah, if we didn't accept the Torah on Mount Sinai, the world goes back to null and void. Right, therefore you can have the flood when man sins and the world is destroyed. There's no reason to save the vegetation, the animals, or anything else. You understand? They're all a hechitimsi. They're all just for our purpose. Okay, but basically that's the job of man. The job that human beings have in the world is to be a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in proclaiming his malchus, in proclaiming his kingdom. Which means in everything we do, we're supposed to acknowledge Hashem as a king, and we're supposed to praise him, and we're supposed to show his honor and glory throughout the world. That's our mission. That's how we become a partner with Hashem in creation. So Adam was judged on Rosh Hashanah, and so too are we every year. This year, how much or how well did we live out our partnership? How much did we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a king over ourselves and over the world? What did we contribute to his malchus? It's a very unselfish day. If you think about it, it's ironic. It's part of the 10 days of repentance, but yet there's no personal prayers. There's no prayers for repentance. We just are doing one thing. We're just in love with Hashem on that day and just proclaiming him king. No personal requests. I just want to acknowledge that you're the king and I'm your subject. That's it. It's a beautiful day if you think about it. It's a purely unselfish day. Okay? So that's what Rosh Hashanah is, and that obviously coincides with what we said at the beginning, that we have to examine, you know, who we are, or rather, examine who we are, more or less, take off all that exterior facades that we've been wearing all year, right? And quit playing our games, and quit playing our trivia pursuit, whatever that might be, and get down to who we really are, why we're here, what's the purpose of life. That's what Rosh Hashanah is about. Okay? When we're making a Kadosh Baruch Hu king over us, we have to introspect and figure how to do that. And the way to do that, obviously, is to come to our real selves. Okay. Now, there's another aspect of Rosh Hashanah's elaboration, and that is the fact that it says, you know, before Rosh Hashanah, you get a haircut, and you wear nice clothing, and you bathe, and in general, you're getting ready to celebrate a yontov. You have fine food, you dress in nicer clothes than you would on Shabbos even, right? And yet, it's a day of judgment. So, like, interesting aspect. On one hand, we have that it's a yontov. We celebrate, we're happy, we sing zmiras and songs, and we eat good food, right? And we get very involved in the physical. And on the other hand, it's a day of trepidation. It's a day we're being judged. Everything is being decided. Who's going to live? Who's going to die? The parnasa. Who's going to be sick? Who's going to be healthy? It's interesting. And you find this concept throughout Yiddishkeit. The concept that's described by David HaMelech, Yilu Birada, rejoicing while trembling. The idea of serving Hashem in Ava and Simcha, in love and in fear and in awe at the same time. Yeah? As a matter of fact, the prayers that we'll start saying on Rosh Hashanah throughout, you know, Yom Kippur, we'll be saying these Avinu Malkeinu, right? Right? Continue. Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu. So, that really explains it. On one hand, we address HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Avinu, our Father, a tremendous love, right? And on the other hand, it's a Malkeinu. It's, you know, tremendous awe and respect and fear, our King, right? And somehow the Jew has to address both of them without them contradicting each other. We have to have this dual aspect. Again, the parable is so apt every time. You know, when you're a child, this is how you are with your parents. You fear them, you look up to them, you respect them, and you fear them, right? At the same time, you know, you love them. There's no contradiction in the two. Okay. And the truth is, we have this, and this is a good thing to lock on to throughout the year, that kind of like a miniature Rosh Hashanah, if you will, is in every bracha that you say. Think about it. Say, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. You say Elokeinu, you know, like a very intimate way, my God, our God, right? Very personal and intimate, Elokeinu. Right, I can talk to you whenever I want to. I can turn to you. I can tell you my tzoras. I can cry out my problems to you. I can ask you for my needs. Right? Elokeinu, at the same time, Melech HaOlam. He's the king over the whole world. Right? Okay. So, by the Jewish people, we continually live on this tightrope act, this balancing act. We have tremendous bitachon, trust in the Chasdei Hashem, in God's loving kindness, that He is a Father that loves us, and He'll cut us slack, so to speak, right? We go into the Day of Judgment with that Hashem will do us a miracle, and we'll come out vindicated, because we know He loves us. At the same time, there's such an opportunity there that we go into it with trepidation. We go into it that we're supposed to at least feel that we're actually going before the throne of glory, the throne of judgment, and we take nothing for granted. At the same time that we trust in Hashem. That's what you gotta lock into as a Rosh Hashanah approaches. You're going to judgment before a loving Father. So, obviously we start a tshuva process, right? Another aspect of Rosh Hashanah, being the first of the 10 days of repentance. So, continuing on this thing, you know, on this theme, rather, you think about tshuva, and the first thing you think about is doing repentance for your sins, right? Which, for sure, you got to do. But there's another another insight in teshuvah. A person has to repent. He has to do teshuva not just for his sins. He has to do teshuva for the etzem fact that he caused himself to be so distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we spent the whole year too much obsessed with possessing things, with consuming, with the materialistic world, as we've mentioned. Of everything but what would bring us closer to Hashem. We have to do tshuva on that. We have to do tshuva that we're not close enough to Hashem. We have to do tshuva on the fact that we just flat out don't find our simcha, as we mentioned, in the spirituality, in davening, and in learning Torah as much as we do in the outside world. We have to remember that with every act that we do out there in the physicality, for physicality's sake alone, it makes us more coarse. It makes us more grub. We're going to learn this in the Torah portion coming up. Right? And it desensitizes ourselves to spirituality. And that's an aspect that takes us away from our essence. That's something that we need to do tshuva on. We have to do tshuva that we're not acting like, you know, B'nai Melech. B'nai Melech. We're not acting like sons of the king. We're forgetting who we are. All right, so thus is Rosh Hashanah. You know, it's interesting. I'm just moving on to a different aspect, and then we'll come back to this. With all I'm saying, we have a concept, and it's going to be one of the Torah portions that we read on Rosh Hashanah. Ba'asher hu sham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the good side. This is the good news, folks. Now that I laid on some heavy-duty stuff on you. The good side is that Hashem judges us by Asher Hu Sham, which is the Torah portion we read, which means Hashem judges you as you are at this particular moment. Which means Hashem says, I don't care what you did all year long. I don't care about your sins, relatively speaking, right? I care where you're holding right now. The rule is Hashem judges us how you are at this moment. At this moment, Rosh Hashanah, when all of us are in shul, and obviously by being in shul, we're making a statement, we're trying to get close to you, we're trying to figure out what the heck is our essence. After it's been covered layer upon layer upon layer of materialism, but we're trying to figure out who we are and how to get close to you. Ah, Basher Hashem. That's what we want to be. We want to be close to you. Hashem looks at that little nakuda, that little, you know, spits in every heart of us that, you know, we're sitting there on Rosh Hashanah and then we're there until we're trying to get close to him, and that in itself is how he's going to judge us. By that moment, that mental framework that we have at that particular point in time. Well, that's interesting. I was going to say that, you know, Mahavdil, in the secular world, how do they celebrate their New Year's? You know, it's like, it's wild. You know, first of all, they stay up all night, right, and they get drunk. That's number one. That's the first thing they do, right? Drink, escape reality. That's the first thing we do. The Jews in Shul trying to focus in what is reality, right? Next, what's next? After you get drunk all night, you wake up the next morning, okay? And after staggering to the bathroom, of course, the first thing you do is hit that remote control and start watching the bowl games, right? And mind you, it's not enough that you watch the Rose Bowl and, of course, the Cotton Bowl. Right? And the Orange Bowl and the Sugar Bowl, that's not enough. You know, sometime around 8, 9 at night, you got to watch the Blue Bonnet Bowl or the Fiesta Bowl, the Minor Bowls. It's not enough. You're like, why? What's the vort? The vort is, in the secular world, the New Year's for them, it's a new year. And they want to get off on the right start. What's the right start for them? Escape. Escape reality. First, let's drink until we can't think straight. Next, what's the best thing to distract your mind? Sports. They got the whole cycle going, if you notice. It's not coincidence. You got the basketball season going to the baseball season, goes in the football season. So there's not one moment that you're not without some major sport going on. So you would actually have 5 minutes to think, you know, stop and think, who in the heck am I? What am I doing here? Because that's too dang scary. Right? So that's how they start the new year. Bowl games. They can't get enough. Right? Because when you love something, you just can't get enough of it. Well, we got the same thing in spirituality. Same thing. Our New Year's starts Rosh Hashanah. We can't get enough. We can't get enough davening in. We can't get enough closeness to our Kodesh Baruch Hu because we love it. We love spirituality. We love the essence of who we are. Deep inside, we really do. So we got Rosh Hashanah. We got 10 days of repentance. We got Yom Kippur. We jump right into Sukkot. We got Hashanah Rabbah. We got Shemini Atzeres. We got Simchas Torah. We start the Torah over again. It's not enough. We finished it. Because when you love something, it's never enough. You got to figure out what's on the Fiesta Bowl. We got to keep going. More and more. And Zois HaBracha, Bereishis, the next day. So that's the essence. That's the essence of the Jew. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees starting Rosh Hashanah. Ba'asher hu sham. That you're there. You're making the effort. You want to be here. You want to discover who you are. I want to get close to you. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at. That's what we're judged on. Told you it wasn't all bad. Okay, so Melody's question is a valid one. Obviously, if you go in, and the Gemara says, if you go into Yom Kippur saying, I'm going to sin, and Yom Kippur is going to atone for me, then it doesn't work. You know, we're talking about, obviously, that during the year, we got distracted because we're in a very distracting world. And it's true, some of that we cause ourselves. But by and large, we're not at home. We're in exile. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu understands that. So the very fact that you understand that Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment, you are showing up in shul, you are making the efforts. It's not a game. You can't, you know, play that and say, oh, that's all I have to do. It's my ticket out. You know, lahavdil, that's what they do. You know, they go, you know, they confess. The guy says, meichelach, 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 and they, go off and do their own thing, you know. It is more complicated than that. But that in itself, depending to that degree of sincerity in your heart, when you're there, Rosh Hashanah, Ba'asher hu sham, means how you are there, means how you are here, upstairs in your head. You can't just be physically there in shul. You have to be there with your whole being and want to be there, close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with your being. If you really feel that and you're having trouble with it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge that. And it's going to give you a favorable judgment, Rosh Hashanah. But now comes the work you got to implement it. I mean, you made a resolution, a real resolution while you're in shul, hopefully. You really discovered. You did this introspect. You found out what your essence is. You discovered yourself. I mean, that's what we're trying to do here. Right? This is the preparation in this class. This is what it's all about. Okay? And so that's it. To that degree, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help you. He's going to judge you. You know, with your sincerity and so forth and so on. Okay, so Chaim Shmuel is asking the question, if the creation of the world was not on Rosh Hashanah, 25th Elul, why is it the birthday of the world? Okay, so once again, a little bit of a view here, is the fact that there was an entity, there was somebody with free will, they could do what they want, man, Adam, right? Created, who could accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon himself with a choice, whether to reject Hashem or to choose Hashem, to make him a melech, that becomes the birthday of the world. In other words, had Adam not accepted HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, then the last 6 days would have meant nothing. The 6 days before that Rosh Hashanah, that the actual creation of the physical world happened, and it would have disappeared. There would be no reason for it. The whole reason for the world is for us to serve Hashem. Okay, we'll keep that on the tape. That must be a good schooler. Well, we'll take a pause right now, and we'll be right back. podcast is one of these tapes for outtakes, you know. I give up. I tell you, I give up. Okay. Okay. Let's continue with the second day of Rosh Hashanah. 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So we already talked about the reading of the Torah on one of the days. We read Ba'asher Usham, how a person is at that moment, Hashem judges him. The other reading, the other day of Rosh Hashanah, we read Akedas Yitzchak. Right? Here they come again. I thought they keep going. They go back and forth, don't they? You know? Oh boy. I tell you. Okay. I feel like it's my fault. I keep getting interrupted so much. Okay. Akedas Yitzchak, right? Famous Torah portion. Akedas Yitzchak, famous Torah portion, right? So of course that describes the when Avraham was willing to do the ultimate test, right? After being promised, you know, by prophecy that a Kodesh Baruch was going to make through his son Yitzchak, right, who he waited for 100 years to finally be born to him, and that was going to be the nation of Israel, right? That was going to be the future, all of Avraham's teachings, you know, to proclaim the glory of Hashem in the world was going to be transmitted through Yitzchak, right? This is the whole climax of Avraham's life. This is the whole reason he wanted to live. You know, just for the sake of displaying Hashem's glory in the world, and that's represented by the nation of Israel, which is Yitzchak. So he is willing to take Yitzchak and do the Sakeda, right? To actually bind him and to kill him, if that's what Hashem wants. A tremendous, you know, and there's, you know, a tremendous amount of commentaries written on this tremendous act, which has imbued in all Jews to be able to Meiser Nefesh, to do Mesiris Nefesh, to sacrifice on behalf of Hashem. That's what it embedded in every Jew, as we talked about Maase Avos Siman Labanim. Okay. So that's what we read on Rosh Hashanah. So when we read about this, and this is the ultimate act of Mesiris Nefesh, right? Give it up. Give it all up, right? So we, and of course we look at this, and anybody else who is willing to give up their life for Hashem as the ultimate of Mesiris Nefesh. But the truth is, there is a higher order of Mesiris Nefesh than giving up your life for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And what's even higher than dying for Hashem, dying as a Jew, if you will, is to go on living as a Jew. And that explains, we mentioned, that why it's called a test for Avraham, the climax of his 10 tests. And it's never called a test for Yitzchak, which is, you know, somewhat of a pella, because Yitzchak is the one that's about to die up there, and he knew what was going on, right? So why isn't called a test for Yitzchak? Why is it a test for Avraham? So if you remember, we discussed this, and we said that basically that, you know, that's it. Yitzchak had to go up there, for sure, was a test to some degree, and he had to give up his life for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But Avraham had a higher mission. He had to go on, Yitzchak had to go up on the altar and die. Avraham had to come back down from the altar and live. To go on living as a Jew, to go on living with the questions and the doubts, right? And dealing with everybody now, you know, that he did something that contradicted all his teachings, right? He had to go on living. That's a tremendous Mesiris Nefesh. That's why it's a test for Avraham. So, why do I tell you this? I tell you this because There's an amazing Chazal that tells us that when they were looking for the place to build the Beis Hamikdash, so the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, they were looking and they saw the ashes of Yitzchak at Har Moriah. This is where it happened. And that, in fact, is where the Beis Hamikdash is. So you're looking at me. What say? Ashes of Yitzchak. Yitzchak wasn't burnt. What's going on here? So that's just it. See, by us, we're in a physical world. You know, by us, we're very physical. We got real fleshy eyes. And that's just what we see, is physicality, you know. Remember we talked about Purim, La Yudim Haisa Oira, Right? We say, Oira Zuk Torah. Right? Or light is Torah. The true definition of light is Torah. It lights up the way. It shows you how to live. Right? That, right? So if you're flesh and blood, you think, oh, that's a light. And you think the Torah is a metaphor. If you're on a higher level, you realize that really the essence of what light is Torah. And that's a metaphor. The physical light bulb is a metaphor. Torah is the real light. In the eyes of Hashem, it's the will, the rotzon that counts. Mesiris nefesh. Nefesh in Kabbalah is always interchangeable with rotzon. Nefesh is rotzon. To do the will. To try to do the will. Yitzchak wanted to be shecht, to do whatever it took to do the service of Hashem. Avram wanted to obey the command of Hashem and was willing to do the shechting. So, in every dimension that counted, spiritual, heavenly, Shemayim-wise, Yitzchak was shechted and he was burnt on the altar. And people with eyes, with real eyes, not just fleshy eyes, but spiritual eyes, they saw the ashes of Yitzchak. He was burnt. He was shecht. The Keter was done. Because the will of Avram was to do it. The will of Yitzchak was to let it be done. Okay? That's what it is. Yitzchak's ashes were on the Mizbeach because it was done. And in the spiritual realm, Avram's will, Ratzon, the Mesiris Nefesh, Yitzchak, Mesiris Nefesh, and Ratzon, right? It was done. And therefore, that's what they saw. The Anshei Knesset Torah saw the ashes of Yitzchak. They actually saw ashes. Because in the real realm, in the spiritual realm, that's what it was. So, how does this connect with us, you're going to ask? I said, go on living as a Jew is a higher Mesiris Nefesh than dying as a Jew once. That's us. That's us. We just finished an Akedas Yitzchak. It's called the Holocaust. We're the generation that has to go on living. We're the Avrams that have to come down off the altar and face the questions and the doubts, the plagues of faith, emuna, bitachon. We're the generation that's subject to a spiritual holocaust, to a materialism, to a propaganda of media, and we're still trying to find our essence. We're still trying to serve you. That rotzon equal to nefesh, that's our mesiris nefesh. Whether we get there, whether we don't, is almost immaterial. What's more important in God's eyes is the effort that we're trying. We're coming to shul on Rosh Hashanah and we're going to try to get down to our essence. We're going to try to figure out who we are. We're going to try to start over again. We're going to have real New Year's resolutions. That's the Mesiris Nefesh that we, you and I, a Jew, can do every single day. To go on and just try to do the Ratzon Hashem. That's the ultimate Mesiris Nefesh. That's maybe one reason that Akedas Yitzchak is read on Rosh Hashanah. To teach us, when it's all said and done, nothing was done. Think about it. We pray every day. Some people say it every chakras. Akedas Yitzchak, Hashem, remember how your favorite child Avram was willing to sacrifice Yitzchak. We blow the shofar. One of the reasons is to remember Akedas Yitzchak. And we're guaranteed because of Akedas Yitzchak, Hashem will never let us go. We'll always survive. And we'll inherit the gates of our enemies. Implicit. But that we get everything. All the guarantees of Jewish survival is because of Akedas Yitzchak. And when it's all said and done, not a dang thing happened. It never happened. But in the eyes of Hashem, it did. Because Avram and Yitzchak's will was, they were willing to do it. And that's what counts in Hashem's eyes. The willingness to do it. The effort. Rachmana Liba Boy. Hashem wants the heart. Let's make an effort. Let's try. Let's try. And if you try, tremendous gates of Siyata Shemaya opened up for you. He's the first Korban Yitzchak. The ram is offered in his stead, and that becomes the paradigm for korbanos, for sacrifices. Every time a sacrifice is up there on the base of Migdash, Rambam says we're supposed to look at it as if we're there. That's how far it goes. We're supposed to look like, really, my sin, because of my sin, I deserve that my skin should be flayed and my blood should be sprinkled. But Hashem has Rachmanis and has taken this animal as a substitute. Okay, and that's the basis of it is from Yitzchak. Okay. Okay. In exploring these days of introspection, as we mentioned, and Yerush Hashanah being a day of judgment, I want to read you an amazing Chiddush Yerim. Let's talk about hell. Why not? Ganem. Can you say that? Sure you can. Okay. Time to talk about Ganem. With a smile on his face. You want to know what Ganem is? Besides listening to me. Gehenim is, listen to this, unbelievable. Gehenim lo ilam abba, ma sheyesh lo busha, ha'ech avad oilam hazeh. That's Gehenim. Says Chiddush Yerim, you know what Gehenim is? In the future world, the shame that you experience, how you wasted this world, the precious time you had in this world. That's Gehenna. You know, oops, I could have had a V8. That's what it is. Oh no, you mean I could have, you mean Torah, mitzvahs, those things were really important? That's Gehenna. The Gehenna is the ultimate shame that you had a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for 70, 80, 90 years, a speck of time here, yafish achas b'olam hazeh, mekol chayei olam haba, to get the most precious goods possible, Torah, mitzvahs, to praise Hashem, to say brachas, and you wasted it, to whatever degree that is, on the narishkeit and the trivia of the world. That's all Gehenim is. That's about everything. It's facing up to facts. Seeing the reality. So that's another part of introspection on Rosh Hashanah. We have to experience shame, no matter what the psychiatrists say out there about shame and guilt. By us, it's a very good thing. It means we can sit, we can admit, we can improve ourselves. We know that Hashem endowed us with greatness, the ability to change and get better. First prerequisite to tshuva, shame. Tshuva, word of busha is in it. The letters busha are in tshuva because you have to show shame. Lost opportunity. What I could have done this past year. Okay. I'm going to rectify that. I'm going to utilize my time better. That's what you got to think of. How can I utilize my time properly this year? How can I identify with my identity? Who am I? Who am I? That's an interesting question. It's a question that actually is asked in the Haftorah of Yom Kippur, in the book of Yonah. Who am I? You know the story? Yonah flees, you know, he's on the ship there, and while he's on the ship, there's a big storm, and everybody's sitting there playing to their getchka. It doesn't work, you know, and everybody, and Yonah is sitting there sleeping, right? So they wake him up. And the captain of the ship says, Yonah, Ma malachtecha? What do you do? What do you do, Yona? Tell us about yourself. Where are you from? What do you do for a living? So Yona says, doesn't say, well, I'm a carpenter. Well, you know, I'm a tailor, whatever. Says, Vayomer Ivri Anoichi Ves Hashem Elokei Hashemayim Ani Yore. Yona says, you want to know what I am? You want to know what I'm about? You want to know what I do for a living? I'll tell you what I do for a living. I'm a Jew. And God, the God of the heavens, is who I fear. I'm a God-fearing Jew. That's who I am. That's what I'm about. That's my living. Get a life. That's Rosh Hashanah. That's what we got to come to the realization on Rosh Hashanah. Ich bin a Yid. I'm a Jew. I'm not a programmer. I'm not a stockbroker. I'm not a dentist. I'm not a secretary, whatever it is. I'm a Jew. I serve God. That's what I do. That's my essence. That's what I'm about. That's my identity. Identify with your identity, who the real you is. Or at least want to be. You know? I know deep inside I'm a Yid. And I'm not everything I'm supposed to be, or I'm not fooling out my essence or potential. But I want to. I want to be close to you. I want to serve you like I'm supposed to. I don't have a desire to, but I wish I had a desire. I desire to have a desire. Oh, Basher Usham. That's the way you're holding. Gansa fine. You're showing busha. You're showing shame. You're admitting. The start of the process is beginning. You're not complacent. You want to identify with your essence. You want to find out who you are. So Rav Chaim Dov Keller, this last part also was from Rabbi Fran. I also heard this part from him. He says, Rav Chaim Dov Keller used to say, on all these Avinu Malkeinus that we say, one of them says, Avinu Malkeinu, Na'al Tashiveinu Reikam Mofanecha. It's interesting. Which means, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, don't let us go empty-handed away from you. So he used to say on this, this is going on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. This is too many a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur has gone by that we've gone away empty-handed. We went to shul, we went through the motions, we clapped away, Ne'ila came, went home, we ate, and it was back to work as usual, back to the routine the next day. Says Rav Chaim Dov Keller, this tefillah, Avinu Malkeinu, please, Na'al Tashiveinu Reikam Lefanecha. Don't let us go away empty-handed another Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Let us take something out of this Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and apply it to our lives. Let's become better in some area. Let us not go away again empty-handed. Let's not waste another literal divine opportunity. We talked about our essence. We talked about Gehenna. Now let me address you as fellow thieves and robbers. Hope I'll be seeing you guys again. Start doing the mitzvah vidui leading up to Yom Kippur. And it's interesting that we learn the mitzvah to do tshuva. You know, the essence of tshuva is vidui, confession, right? And the that essence of tshuva, vidui, we learn by the mitzvah of, by the mitzvah, to refrain from stealing. Gezela. By there, that's where it's written in the Torah. We learn that you have to confess for your sins. So, Chiddush Yerim wants to know, why of all places is that where we confess for all sins by Gezela? He says, because if you think about it, every time we sin, we're stealing. We're robbers, thieves. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has... This is not our lives. It's on loan. That's it. That's the bottom line. We think, ich bin a mensch, I can do what I want. That's not the vort. The vort is, we were taken out of Egypt on condition that we serve Hashem and do His mitzvahs, period. Therefore, any time I take koyach, energy, abilities, talents, skills, and use it for me as the bottom line, not as a means to an end, I'm a thief. That's what it is. These things Hashem gave each one of us, and each one of you is blessed with particular talents and skills, are given to you for avodas Hashem. Do you know the story? Well, this is not in the notes, guys. There's a story in the voice of the Jezebel and Ahab and Jezebel, the wicked king and queen, right? They killed a bunch of prophets, so they coveted someone's vineyard. Yeah, this guy was a Levi, coveted his vineyard, right? So they framed him, whole gansa maisa there, they framed him, and they had him put to death. Okay? They had him put to death, and they got the vineyard finally, because he wouldn't sell it. So they asked, obviously, he must have done something in his life that he had a death penalty on him. You understand? Avanai, okay, man has free will. But the point is, this guy was a righteous man. Why did he die? Why did Hashem allow it to happen? Okay, it's not much of a question. Of course, Broke doesn't really step in the way of Bechira. But this is what Chazal tell us. This guy was a Levi. He was blessed with a beautiful voice. He used to go each one of the Shlosh Regolim, right? Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. He used to go to Yerushalayim and sing. The Levim had their own special songs, very deep mystical songs, right? And people used to be misurer from these songs. They used to mamish awaken and mamish get tremendous disorders from it, right? And this one, whatever the festival was that came out, Sukkos, whatever it was, he decided, I'm tired. Whatever it was, I'm sure he had a bigger calculation than that, he was just tired, right? He was a big tzaddik, but Lamaisa, he didn't go up. He skipped one. He had a death penalty on him from heaven. Hashem said, I gave you that voice. I gave you a talent or skill. Right? And you can misorder people with it. You can awaken people. You can get them close to Hashem with it. And you don't want to use it? You just want to sit at home? You got a death penalty on you. You're a thief. You've stolen from Hektish. Something that's consecrated to Shemayim. And that's why he died. From his calculation. The mitzvah of vidui is by Gezel. Don't want to scare you guys. Okay? Try to be easy going all year round. But Rosh Hashanah is coming up. We got to think about these things. You each got talents and skills. You got to figure out how to use them, right? Now, what's her name? Mrs. Fisher. She has a talent. What does she do? She makes beautiful challah covers with this, I don't know what you call it exactly, her suede. Yeah, the fabric making stuff. She makes the Sifri Torah covers. That's a great example. People are blessed with a voice, right? Sometimes they make Yiddish music, right? Or music for children, whatever it is. Some people are blessed, they can make children's stories to help them get closer. Everyone, okay, so those look like very big talents and skills, but you never know. Some people have a personality, that you're real congenial, you're easygoing, you have a smile, you know how to make people feel good. Maybe that's your mission in the world. Maybe that's your essence. That's how Hashem wants you to do your Mesiras Nefesh in life. Make people feel good. Make them feel good about themselves. I don't know. Could be a person walking around with a machla, with an illness, and the way he handles it. gives everybody else inspiration, makes them appreciate what they got. Let me read you something. And we'll conclude with this. I'm at the liberty of enclosing a copy of a letter which I received from a cousin of mine who at this time is undergoing chemotherapy for cancer of the marrow, thus the reference to the marrow of the bones. In the time that we've been in America, we have all undergone great changes, in particular in our spirituality. All my life, I considered that I was a good Jew and rested on my laurels. Considering, as many unfortunately do, that going to shul, identifying with Jews and Israel, and doing good deeds was sufficient. I, however, overlooked one very important thing, the most important thing in a Jew's life, Torah. In South Africa, although I went to shurim, I did not appreciate the essence of what being a good Jew was. I did not appreciate that without being involved in the study of Torah, a Jew is nothing, and that learning Torah and doing mitzvahs is our sole mission in this life. So, what happened? Hashem brought me to Atlanta, Georgia, and gave me a patch, an illness, to remind me what my priority was. In ill health, I suddenly recalled that the Torah is a tree of life. I delved into the Tanakh. I also noted that the Torah was marrow for the bones. I provided myself with a teacher, and it is only now, at this stage of my life, after having learnt but a few Divrei Torah, that I realize how sublime it is to learn Torah, what it means to be a Jew, and how we must serve Hashem. We fail to grasp or understand Hashem's divine supervision in our lives, Hashgacha Pratis, that Hashem is intimately involved at all times in our lives, that we dare not rely on our own intellect, intelligent, logic, or rationale in carrying out Hashem's mitzvahs. Na'aseh v'nishma. We will do and we will obey, not the other way around. And so forth. This person took a machla, an illness, and turned it into a kiddush Hashem. He sanctified God's name and strengthened Jews through his illness. Many people have this illness and they react the opposite way. They get bitter. They turn away. Where was God when I need him? How could God let this happen? So we never know what is our talents, what are our skills, how to serve Hashem. But Hashem gives us opportunities every day. Sometimes, you know, with wealth, or those things that look obvious that we can serve Hashem. Other times, through the means that we would have never thought possible, that through this I can serve Hashem. Through this I can inspire others. Through my source, through my sorrow, through my illness, I can teach others what the real priorities in life are all about. The tremendous opportunities. Not to have to face Gehenna and say, Oy, busha, ha'ech, avad, oylam, hazeh. Oy, the shame, how I wasted this world. Every moment in this world, Ashrei Yoishvei Beisecha, Od Yalucha Sela. Happy are those that are dwelling here. We can still praise your name. And in illness, how much more Kiddush Hashem it is. This is the Mesiris Nefesh of going on living as a Jew. This is from Lewis. This is going to make my Rosh Hashanah. Because we all take things for granted, and health is one of them. So, that's it, guys. Some of this class is very informal, but it's coming from the heart. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me. We all got to get it on. We all got to get our game face on here. We all got to figure out what's going on. And we got off tuch. We got a guarantee from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Make me the opening the eye of a needle. And I'll open it wide like a great hall. All we need to do is show up with sincerity and want to do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he'll take us by the hand and lead us. And he'll show us what to do. We just got to pray. Talk to him. Ask him. Show me what to do. Lead me. Guide me. Amechi mitzadei gaver. You lead the steps of man. So, just close again, Rav Chaim Dov Keller. Nabiya, the tefillah for all of us to latch on to something, to think into it. What can we take out of this Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur that we can live out? A hint, we should do something small. Don't try to do wholesale tshuva, right? Just try to do retail tshuva. Let's take something small and try to live it out. Taka, the tefillah should be Avinu Malkeinu. Na'al tashivenu rekham lefanecha. Don't let us go away another Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Don't let us go away empty-handed. Let's take this Rosh Hashanah and literally make it a new year and a start of a new life for us to discover our essence, to mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the world, and not to forget to make him a melech over us. Good to meet you.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.